When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This feeling that I've been here before. I got this feeling that I've been here before.
Welcome to Eno's Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
How are you? Where have you been?
Tired.
You're late.
Yeah. I was getting a drink with someone after work.
Fun.
It was fun.
I was at home eating my fifth serving of skillet shepherd's pie.
I saw someone I haven't seen in a while, someone who I used to work with, and then we don't see each other anymore. And I was telling her what I feel like I've told everyone this sentence, like, every time I've spoken to anyone for the last 3 years, is I'm like, well, I really feel like I'm getting out of the woods now with having a young kid. And I say that, like, every month after month for 3 years, because it just keeps incrementally getting a little bit easier.
The trees just keep getting further apart, but we're still in the woods.
But, like, because when I'm out for drinks like that, it's like, it's still sort of like a wild feeling to being like, I'm out at night. I don't have to be full of stress because I'm here. Like, there's nothing I need to be, like, rushing back to. I'm not, like, completely sleep deprived.
You don't need to rush back for anything except to record this podcast.
Except to record this podcast, but this is the time we would have recorded it had I not.
I'm going to bed after 11 tonight. But you know what?
But
this is not a guilt trip. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to feel bad because of all of the beef that I ate, regardless of how late I go to bed.
What did you make?
I told you I made us a shepherd's pie skillet. It's like beef and peas and carrots with hash browns on top.
Sounds good, but heavy.
It's incredibly heavy. I didn't eat all day and I was so hungry and I went to town on it. Oh, I almost forgot. I almost murdered our son today. boy, I can't believe I didn't think about this immediately. I lost it, Beth. It's been a while since I've, like, gotten mad, but I lost it. I went in to pick him up from daycare, and I was a little early, and I go in, and he loves to do this thing where he goes, "You weren't the one I wanted to come get me!" And you know what? That hurts my feelings. But I can handle it. I'm a grown man. And then I go, here we go. Maven has his shoes on.
He said that to me last week. He was like, I didn't want you to get me. And I pick him up literally once a week. And he's usually happy to see me as a change of pace. I was like, really? You don't want me on this one day I came? Okay.
He's
clearly just, he gets dehydrated and angry at the world. And he doesn't really know what's going on anymore.
Oh, you'll love. So a listener wrote in. and wrote two paragraphs to me about why I should drink water.
I love that. I sent you a video today where Kumail Nanjiani is talking about how men need to get in touch with other emotions besides anger. And then he also talks about how men are constantly dehydrated, which is what I've been saying for years.
Listen, okay, to the person, oh, I'll, maybe we'll talk about this email later. The person who wrote in was so nice about it, and she was so excited to share, like, really interesting specific knowledge about how to hydrate. But still, I read it and I said, don't tell me what to do. I'm not gonna drink water.
Well, this is what, it's such an apt metaphor on, like, on a small funny scale, but it's such an apt metaphor for how men exist in the world when they're being toxically masculine. Is they have a problem, and instead of trying to resolve why they feel bad, they project it out onto everyone, take out their anger, and the problem becomes everyone else's. And I hear these stories of people who are like, men who are clearly having a physical or emotional, like, issue, and instead of dealing with it, they just make life miserable for everyone around them.
Instead of drinking a glass of water?
Yeah, no, but, like, they do it, men do this with other things, where it's like, they won't get a hearing aid, and then everyone else is just, like, has to listen to the volume of something on, like, an insane level. You know what I mean? It's like,
well,
go to the doctor, men. Just go to the doctor.
No men ever go to the doctor. That's the
drink
lesson
a glass
here.
Of water and go to the doctor.
Here's the thing. I hate drinking water, and I do it more than I ever have before, and for some reason I hate it, and I hate being told to drink water. Anyway, I guess I didn't drink water today.
When you got this email about drinking water.
Well, actually, I went to the gym, and so I sweated a lot. And so I drank some water afterwards and before. I went to pick up Bryn, and, you know, he was like he's being real snotty. And then he wouldn't put on his shoes. And I'm just in this mode where I'm like, I'm not going to pull my usual tricks where I'm like, oh, hey, you know, there's treats at home. I'm going to bribe you. I'm like, I'm not putting up with this shit right now. And I go, come on, we have to go. And so I, like, grab his shoe and I go to put it on, and he falls to the ground and starts kicking me, and he won't let me put the shoe on. And then the woman who's working there is really uncomfortable, and she's like, come on, Bryn, let's do this. And I'm like, it's not going to work. And so Maven's already, and I literally just grab Bryn like a sack of potatoes. I throw all the stuff and I go, okay, we're leaving. And I carry him out in a very uncomfortable way with no shoes on. And I throw him in the car, and he's squirming and won't let me put the seatbelt on. And then a rage bomb exploded in my chest. And I am ashamed of everything that happened, because it was a lot of yelling. It was more yelling than I've ever done, Beth. And I scared him, and that was my intention, and I wanted him to cry, and I felt terrible, and everyone was quiet, and I started driving, and then I drove two blocks, and then I just, like, couldn't let it go, and then I just went off in the car. And it didn't even have the effect I wanted. He's, like, not scared of me when I blow up, because he's seen it before. But he was like, and then we got home, and I took him. He wouldn't walk, so I made Maven carry his backpack. I carried him in. I put him in his room, and I said, you're staying in here until dinner time. And he stayed in there and sulked, and I made dinner. Then we came out, and everything was fine. And then I felt really bad about myself. And then I ate too much shepherd's pie, and now I'm depressed.
You know what I did this week that was surprisingly effective?
What's that?
So I made brownies, and I gave them brownies, but I hid the brownies in the microwave before I gave them their single serving.
Yeah, so I found it today. I was looking for it before.
So they didn't know. It was like a completely unpredictable spot. And they don't look in the microwave. And so they couldn't find it.
I looked for the brownies. I couldn't find them.
Yeah, it's foolproof for all you idiots that I live with, all the gorillas.
I'll never figure it out.
Anyway, so I did that, and then they were like, couldn't find it. They were like scrambling through the cabinets, which are bare because we can't keep food here. And then they were like doing the usual thing where they're not going to bed, and they keep coming out and they're sneaking, and Maven's like giggling, like she's like, hee hee. And I was like, you guys, I'm going to throw away all the brownies. And they were like, I was like, if you want brownies tomorrow, they're not going to be here because I'm throwing them all in the trash. And they like all like scurried into their beds and went to bed.
Oh boy, that's threats are so dangerous because the more you use it, the less effective they are.
I know, but I was like, I can make those brownies disappear.
I will make those brownies disappear. I brought those brownies into the world. I can take them out.
Yeah. We just need, as they get older, I feel like we're going to need to have like a lock and key closet situation or something. I don't know.
A straight up lock. That's not the craziest thing.
They're, I don't know. How do you teach kids self-control is the question for our listeners with older kids.
You show it. You demonstrate it. And you don't freak out and you don't do all the things I did today. You do none of which I did today. And then I laid on the floor and Maven came over and like took care of me. She's like, does your back hurt? I'm like, oh, I guess I've laid on the floor enough times and said my back hurts that my kids say that for me.
They said to me one time, they were like, mommy loves her bed or something like that. And I was like... Yeah.
Mommy does love her bed.
Like, I don't really want to hear that, but I do love my bed. When they might as well when say they see us, me, usually it's nighttime and I'm like, I'll be
avoiding
in my bed.
Them in your bed.
Well, it's just like the one place I can lay down.
No, I know. It's your alone place. Oh, to get away from all of us, and they know that. It was Father's Day.
Yeah.
We had a lovely Father's Day. I really appreciate it. So we spent the day in Brooklyn with our very close friends. And I really appreciate you guys let us do what we wanted to do, which was absolutely nothing. We sat around and did nothing all day.
With our friends.
Went for a little walk. And it was a dream come true.
It was a nice day.
I like a no-fuss holiday.
Yeah, I mean, we did have to bribe our kids out of there with gummy, with fruit snacks.
Yeah, Bryn did have a bit of a meltdown there, too.
Yeah. Luckily, when I drove off and you went to go to work, they both passed out very quickly in the car. And I was like, thank God.
Nothing like a good nap an hour before bedtime.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty annoying. But it was like an hour-long drive back, and Bryn was in a bad mood. And I was like, just, I need you to be quiet right now.
Oh, but on the bright side, I went to an audition today and sat next to a friend who has a 14-month-old. And I love hearing about...
Did you get to hold it?
No. I wasn't with the 14-month-old.
You made it sound like they were there. You painted a picture for me.
I'm so sorry that I misled you. No, we just talked about our kids, and his child is 14 months old and loves to sprint. And so he's just constantly ripping his knees up and falling down. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thank God that's over. So sorry for those of you listening that are in the middle of that, where you have to just hover over that child for a year.
Did I talk last week about how I suddenly am starting to find babies cute again and it terrifies me?
Oh, no, don't get pregnant, please.
Yeah, like it scares the crap out of me. I'm like, Don't do that. My brain.
Speaking of that, that's going to come around real big soon. Oh, no, we can't talk about it yet. Soon. Hey, remember that thing that I said we were going to talk about that we're not allowed to talk about? Still not allowed to talk about it.
You've given the listeners a strong hint as to what it is.
If you haven't figured
it out, edit this out.
No, I'm not editing it out. We don't know who we're talking about. Anyway, okay. Get ready for that. It's going to be so anticlimactic. You guys are not going to care.
Listeners love when you just vaguely ramble about something without giving them any specifics.
Coming up next week or another week or never is a thing that's great, or you won't care and it will happen or it won't. Stay tuned.
Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? It's where we share some things we read on the internet.
In honor of Father's
that was
Day.
The noise of the internet.
That's our dial-up. In honor of Father's Day,
we
which is just passed. Oh, yeah, we have dial-up. What else is there? Read a little article in the New York Times parenting section about dad brains. And oh boy, you know I love a little neuroscience explanation about things. And there are a couple of just simple points. So they've started to do research on what's actually happening in dad's brain when baby comes along and how it changes and it evolves. And there were three sort of simple things that I found very interesting that I'm going to share with you, Beth, my love. So the most direct thing that happens to a dad's brain around birth time, right before the baby is born and afterward, testosterone dips, baby. That's evolution saying, hey, dad, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Don't be motivated to go have sex with other things because you're going to be needed. Which I was like, okay, cool. That's interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. But the second fact that I thought was really interesting is sort of which parts of the brain are most activated while parents are parenting. And for moms, regions closer to the core of the brain, which enable them to care, nurture, and detect risk, were most active when interacting with their kids. But for dads, the parts that shone most brightly were located on the outer surface of the brain, where higher, more conscious cognitive functions sit, such as thought, goal orientation, planning, and problem solving. And it goes on to talk about basically, you know, the more center part of your brain is your lizard brain that evolved long before we were even humans. And it's your core animal instincts. And most animals, you know, mothers have this built-in thing to protect the children because they're the ones who are actually going to take care of it. And males, you know, peace out. But for humans, as humans have evolved, they grew to be these highly social creatures, and dads evolved to be more involved and to stick around. And so that part of dad's brain is a newer thing, which makes sense to me. And if,
can I give you my spiritual take on this?
Yes, please.
So I totally am on board with the idea of like the lizard brain developing this new layer, or developing the outer layer in a more substantial way, and that being part of evolution and part of us evolving into higher beings and developing more empathy. And that's why people of a certain age always struggle with the idea of having empathy for different groups or different...
Whoa, that was a big swing, a big left turn. And because we're talking about evolution, you're not going to convince me that this happened in a generation.
I think evolution is always happening.
Sure. I'm going to give one last fact. Right. Dive into that scathing indictment of all baby boomers.
It wasn't.
Okay, we'll get into it. Well, something I thought that was... There's the
stereotype. My brain too will one day be thought of as lizard. I'm willing to own that. One day they'll look at my brain and be like, "Wow, what a shriveled little lizard pea-sized brain that was."
I'm not sure who's being attacked in this analogy.
No one. No one's being attacked.
Okay, good. Great. And so there's also the stereotype of that, like, moms are there when there's problems and dads are fun. You know, dads get to play. And then the fun dad stereotype. And researchers found that peaks in oxytocin, and by association dopamine, occurred for women when they were nurtured their children. In contrast, the peak for men occurred when they took part in, quote-unquote, rough and tumble play. Because young children's... And so that is to say, women's brains were most highly activated during nurturing moments, whereas men, it was like rough and tumble play. And what was really interesting that I'd never heard of is that children's brains seem to mimic the same oxytocin levels as their parents, meaning they'll get a similar blast of feel-good oxytocin when playing with dad and when being nurtured by mom. They'll be more likely to engage in that behavior over and over again, specifically with that parent, which is critical for their development. And
well, I feel like whenever we talk about these effects on the brain of having a baby around you and stuff, it always seems to make a really strong case for parental leave for both parents.
Sure.
Because there's clearly like all these brain connections being made in allowing someone to nurture for a child if they're like around them and like,
oh yeah,
I mean, you know, experiencing the child in their early development.
Humans are a fascinating animal, and that like how the social element we've evolved to live in a pack, and so people are created. It takes a village, you know. So yeah, interacting with dad and mom, like we have our own relationship with our kids. That's unique, and that's why it's easier for you to do some things with them and harder for me, and vice versa. And I'm way more fun than you.
Can I tell you one moment this week that really delighted me, which is
that was supposed to be a joke, but
you were trying to think of an actor's name, which was Christian Bale, and it was on the tip of your tongue, and you couldn't think of his name, and you were getting so angry because it seemed so obvious to you. And I had this moment of like joy, because that's such like a mom brain thing, because moms are always doing so much emotional labor in the back of our minds, so we don't have the brain power to remember those kinds of facts off the top of our head. And it made me feel like you've maybe finally taken on enough emotional labor in the household, because I was like, he's losing his mind like me.
You're like, Peter can't remember who was the star of the Dark Knight?
Well, like names are the first thing to go for me. It's just like, I know that thing in my mind. I don't need to know like every name.
I was very upset that it took me a minute and a half to think of the name Christian Bale.
It took you so long and I was delighted. It was like,
because I thought you were delighted because you just like making fun of me.
I mean, that too, but it was really about...
But it was a compliment now.
The symbolism of like being like, he has been doing a lot around here and...
It's finally catching up with
learning how
him.
To cook and actually think about these different things that have to happen for our lives to move forward. And he is losing his mind a little bit. And that's perfect.
I almost couldn't think of the name The Dark Knight, you know, one of the finest comic book movies ever made.
The finest.
You don't want to get into this.
Yeah, don't get me started on Batman.
Okay. We got it. You really tolerated our comic book conversations on Father's
Day. No, I just feel like I'm going to make a lot of enemies if I start talking about Batman.
Interesting. Specifically Batman or comic book movies in general?
Specifically Batman.
Okay, give me your one-line pitch why Batman is worse than...
Okay, Batman has no personality. He has no sense of humor. He's just a rich guy who is sort of like on a vendetta. He's not like...
Yes, you know what? You're right. Batman is good because of his villains. He's got good villains.
He's so boring.
He's a detective. It's a puzzle. It's not an action movie to me. Anyway...
Just give me
this was the most in-depth comic book
complex flawed humorous hero.
But here's the secret about Beth. Beth loves X-Men. You love
that's
a Wolverine.
I love Wolverine. I do, because he has a sense of humor and
he's flawed and he's sexy.
He's flawed and he is very sexy.
But you didn't like Logan, which is arguably one of the best comic book movies ever made.
Because I don't like dark, like needlessly dark things.
It was very sad.
That's another thing I hate about the modern day Batman movies. If we were talking Michael Keaton Batman, I'd probably be like more somewhat interested.
Yeah.
But like, I don't like these dark movies where they're just like, everything is so bad, the whole movie. Let a character crack a joke here and there. It's a comic book movie.
You got to watch Thor Ragnarok, I'm telling you. We watched it on Father's Day with no sound on in the background.
I wasn't interested aesthetically. I was not drawn in.
Anyway, I don't need to talk you into it.
It was too plasticky, and that's why I like Wolverine, because he has hair and he feels like a real person.
I am totally support your desire for Wolverine, because I just tell myself, yeah, I'm a Wolverine.
I don't think this is like, this is just a strong preference that's probably completely irrational. But I like things that are set in worlds that look more real and earth-like and like people.
Oh yeah, that's why the Christian Bale Batmans are great. Sorry, I cannot believe we've been talking about this for this long.
Oh my God.
This is the last thing in the
world I ever thought
would be on this podcast. I feel closer to my wife though than I've ever felt before. Because this is rough and tumble play. This is how dads connect with people. We play games, we problem solve, we sort through things, and we categorize. Let's go clean the shit.
I would say when it comes to rough and tumble play that I am pretty rough and tumble with our kids.
Yeah. And should note that these are trends. These are studies. These are not absolutes. You're not one or the other. And not all dads are like this. And of course, not all moms are like this.
Can I say...
You're a great rough and tumble mom.
This weekend when our kids were climbing on the like spiderweb thing at the playground, It was like... Normally when the kids are on the playground, I get sort of anxious because there's so many like steps and things where they could just trip and fall and then like fall like 20 feet. Like every playground just has all these weird like holes.
Yeah.
And it's not the kind of thing that they notice, but when they're on this like spiderweb type thing where they're clearly like trying to climb and they're focused on climbing and they're focused on getting a good grip, I was like remembering the satisfaction of being a kid who climbed things.
Yeah, you're a real climbing kid.
I loved climbing up things like trees and doorways and...
I loved that thing. Maven went for it. Like, our kids are rough and tumble kids.
I like seeing her do that. I was like, yeah.
But you know, you see that, you know, I have a much more nurturing, like hugs and kisses and cuddly relationship with my kids than I ever had with my dad, just because he worked all week. And so I'm experiencing more of that, quote unquote, motherly thing. But there is a difference. Like Maven, you know, she's in love with you. She'll just turn to me and say, "Mommy's so pretty." And she's not you.
She really
mommy.
Is obsessed. I think I already said this, but she was like, "I love following you."
Yeah.
She's just obsessed with me.
Because she gets close to you and that nurturing part of her and your brain are activated in sync.
Well, you know what I like about that is that, like, so a lot of people recently, I think, have been focused a lot on body image issues, and it's very present in my mind of trying to, like, deprogram this idea that, like, my body is disgusting and fat, and, like, no matter how good or bad you're feeling about your body, it's just, like, this undercurrent that's hard to, like, shake loose. And when Maven says those things about me,
yeah,
I realize, like, I've never said bad things about my body in front of her. I've never given her any indication that, like, female bodies are bad or we should be, like, ashamed of them. And, like, I think if I can continue that, not that she needs to specifically find me attractive, but the fact that she can see another woman in her presence that she's like, I love the way this woman, this, like, average-looking woman looks, or, like, whatever.
That's hugely important for you to model the behavior.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of women my age, we're just starting to be able to look at our fellow women without the lens of critique and just see people's bodies and be like, oh, all my friends are beautiful and all these women, all these actresses are beautiful. And if you'd ask me like 20 years ago or whatever, you know, like what I thought of their body, like there would have just been so much criticism drilled into my head of like what I was supposed to be judging them for. And it's just very like things like that make me so excited for kids our children's age. It's just like they're not gonna have all of that.
That's really interesting because I've realized in the past however many years I don't touch any of that. Like this is a big part of working for Story Pirates, where you're adapting things performed for kids. You're hyper aware of any unintended messaging. And like body image is a huge thing that you don't want to accidentally do any unintended messaging about body images, because there's a kid in the audience that connects with whatever that thing is. So I've removed it from my vocabulary entirely in life. Commenting at all on how anyone looks for any reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'll be an age where our kids are definitely going to start to get more aware of that. It's like kind of unavoidable, but it'll be interesting to see what level.
Do you know what game Brynn and Maven played tonight?
What?
They played Barber Dentist, where first Maven sat at your makeup table, and then Brynn took your Theracane, which is like a back massager thing, and he pretended to first be the dentist, and he goes, "All right, say ah," and then he pretends to brush her teeth with a cane, and then go, "Ee, scrub," and then he cuts her hair, cut, 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 and he goes, now scrape, and then they scratched each other's backs and necks for a long time.
That's kind of nice.
And then they switched. And then he took his new handkerchief and he put it on like the sheet that the barber puts around your neck. And I filmed it and it was 7 minutes long and adorable.
This weekend, there was a point in the morning where they woke up and Maven was like, "I love you, Brynn." And he was like, "I love you."
They're really incredibly adorable.
That again made me really want to like model good behavior, where it's like, I need to say I love you more often. Because I feel like that had been preempted by me saying it a couple times to Maven, and I was like, that is so cute.
Yeah. Well, and that's not really your language.
Like, no.
I'm not just.
My like, love language is not language.
It's not validation. How do you feel? Because that's, you don't, and that's all I ever want, and that's all I just want you to tell me that I'm beautiful and amazing, and you don't. But do you with our kids?
Yeah, I do. I always say nice things to them about them.
Great.
I say nice things about you too.
You do. You do, and it means the world to me when you do, because I know that you mean it and that you're doing it. But it's not your natural mode, is all I'm saying.
I just don't go overboard.
Beth, you're the fucking best, and I love you.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I just say before we start this next segment that another X-Men that I find attractive is the Beast.
The Nicholas Holt Beast or the Kelsey Grammer Beast?
Both.
Wow. Ah, yes. Kelsey Grammer.
Anyway, so
that's
this
fascinating.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Know. Listeners, next week, feel free to write in about your superhero attractiveness.
Attractiveness.
Attractive.
Attractions.
Attractions. Okay, so this next segment is Listeners Want to Know. This is where we take some questions and comments from you guys.
So last week, we talked about sex, and none of our parents have mentioned it. But
well, that's what I liked about putting it really broad into the episode description is like they knew what they were in for. If they went any further and listened to the episode, that's on them.
I love that we released this right after my dad discovered how podcasts work.
Yeah, he's really
I don't think he's heard it. Anyway, so
yeah, so they can. They hopefully they skipped that episode. If not, we'll never speak of it.
We won't, and that's fine. That's fine. It really was the last thing that we weren't talking about. And we talked about it. And people had things to say, Elizabeth.
Wow. Okay.
People wrote, I think we got more mail this week than we've ever gotten. Which is so fantastic. And again, thank you always for writing. And
thank you, sex-loving listeners.
And everything you send, we read and share with each other. We do not respond to everything because of our lives, not because we don't love you. So here we go. Hi, Beth and Peter. I'm listening to your latest show and laughing at your story about your elderly neighbors. This made me laugh especially hard for two reasons, and I'm going to skip to the second reason. My current next door neighbor has the problem Beth was afraid she unknowingly had, which was Beth was afraid that she was being vocally too loud during lovemaking. But it was not. It was the bed frame itself. But this person's neighbor does have that problem. So she wants to know, do I say something? It's almost daily and usually sometime between 8 p.m. and midnight. That is early enough that I sometimes have friends over during that time, like a dinner party or movie night. And yet to find a social interaction, I've yet to find a social interaction not made awkward by hearing my neighbor having loud sex. Even my dog sitter commented about it after an overnight stay. Perhaps more annoyingly, her alarm is set to a volume that, when heard from my bedroom, is louder than the alarm I set in my own room, which means I wake up to her alarm at 6:15 every morning when I don't have to. On my own side of things, I Skype early in the morning, 7 a.m., 3 to 4 days a week, to help teach English to children in China. And I don't know whether she can hear me annoyingly and loudly and slowly saying things like, what is that? Good job. And what does a lion eat? And I have a dog who barks when someone walks down the hall talking, which I know is super annoying, but my dog doesn't bark all day while I'm gone, as one of the other dogs in the building does. So on the annoying spectrum, she's only in the middle. Do I ask if she can hear me talk to my students? Do I ask if my dog has a problem? Do I tell her I can hear her and her fun times and her not-so-fun alarm? We barely interact. Our schedules are quite different, and it is a big building. Or do I just stop inviting people over to my apartment and avoid the weirdness of listening to her while people are around and assume our other noises issues mostly balance one another out? Sorry, my question isn't child-related, but it's so on point with the recent episode. Keep up the good word, love listening, Catherine.
Man, this person's sex life is unstoppable. They are determined to do this.
It's too much. It's too much sex.
Every night.
Catherine's neighbor.
I mean, it's impressive. I understand. What I appreciate about these kind of circumstances is people are always hesitant to say anything because they're like, I don't want to ruin a good thing, but...
Well, that's why I loved our downstairs neighbor saying, like, hey, do what you got to do. He showed me that he understood that I have a healthy relationship.
I'm cool with sex. I'm not...
Oh, do what your wife, a.k.a. you got to do.
Yeah, but in her case, this person she's living next to maybe has a sex addiction, is not
a really,
going
really
to change.
Solid relationship.
It also seems like the vocal aspect of it is like performative. Like this person's trying to get attention. Like,
have you ever been in this situation where you've heard somebody through a room that was very vocal? I was in a hotel room in Montreal.
Yeah.
Or Vancouver. Very far apart, those two cities, with like two friends where it was a long time and it was very vocal and it was right there through the wall. And it's just all of us sleeping, just pretending like we're not hearing it. And it's much weirder because it was friends of mine, you know, when we were younger, co-ed room, of like listening to this very graphic sex. And our friend Leslie finally slammed on the wall. But like the 20 minutes where no one was saying anything was real intimate for
That's
everyone.
So funny.
Have you ever experienced that?
Not to that extreme. I feel like I've heard a little bit here and there, but not where I was like, this is just going on and on.
I mean, like, there's something very fun about it to, like, listen to that, to be like, wow, I should not be hearing this. But, oh boy, if there's friends over, it's every night. Honestly, the alarm to me is more annoying.
Really? I don't know. I am thinking about her trying to have people over and just being like, oh my God, every single time. And the fact that she said she had a daughter, right? So like she's trying to like talk to her kid while this is going on.
It sounds like their bedrooms are aligned.
Okay. I don't know.
I think that it is very valid to bring up the alarm clock thing, because that's something she can adjust.
I do think, similar to our neighbors, I'm like, well, maybe she should just go over and kindly be like, hey, this is getting pretty awkward for me when I have people over and my kid is here. Like,
I like Catherine's tactic, which is let her figure it out. Bring up a different topic and she'll know, you know? Like, I knew our neighbors could hear us because they could hear the dryer, they could hear the swing we used to have when we had a baby. So yeah, I think the alarm thing, if being like, hey, am I too loud, maybe feels a tad passive aggressive. But to say like, hey, I don't know if you would mind turning your alarm volume down a little bit, because it literally wakes me up every morning.
Yeah.
And then you could say, I hear everything that happens in there, and then lock eyes with her and don't blink.
I hear everything. Yeah, or you might just have to move.
Like, yeah, you should just move. Boy, so there's no dogs allowed in our building, and your sister sometimes smuggles her dog in.
Yeah,
and
without warning. We're like, oh.
I got to say, Beth, I try to act really cool because I don't like having the reputation of being a nervous square. But when that dog is here, nothing stresses me out more.
Well, because there will always be like something in the newsletter like a month or two after something like this happens where it's like, just a friendly reminder, no dogs on the premises. There's always like one person who like tips you off to the like co-op board or whatever.
I'm extra paranoid about the world, so I know there's a big part of this on me.
It's not like malicious. It's just that we live surrounded by a lot of older people who are always watching.
Yeah. Well, I know why there's no dogs allowed, because you can hear your neighbors having sex upstairs, so you can definitely hear dogs barking.
Yeah, it's a good rule for the buildings, I think. It's less dirty outside.
I agree. Are you ready for another email?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hey, from Toronto. Masturbation? Maybe? This is the subject line. Hey, Beth and Peter. Love the podcast. Your kids are super cute, and your banter is top-notch. I'm a mom of two boys, 6 and 4, so my husband and I relate pretty closely to your highs and lows. Wanted to run something past you that we've noticed lately with our 6-year-old. He seems to have discovered how to, quote-unquote, pleasure himself genitally. I don't know how else to describe it. He will lay on his bed, tummy down, and rub himself on his bed by moving back and forth. This results in some, quote-unquote, excited body parts, if you catch my drift. When I've caught him in the act, I tell him that it's a private thing and not to do it when others are around, i.e. at school or at grandma's house. I also tell him not to do it too much because he might hurt himself, lol. Don't want to shame him or make him feel like this is a bad thing, but at the same time, he needs to know that this is something that requires privacy. How would you handle this? I hope I'm handling it okay. Thoughts? Keep keeping on and keeping the rest of us feeling like everything is A-okay. Cheers, Annette.
So we haven't really had to deal with this much at all.
Not at all.
Our kids just occasionally like explore down there, but they're not like fixated.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like she's doing the right thing.
It's yeah, just, I agree.
Act.
Yeah, it is that like, I think you're right with to be like, hey, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But not in front of other people.
I think.
Do whatever you want in your room.
With kids' nudity and stuff like that, you always have to like sort of find the fine line of like, okay, are they getting too old where this thing they're doing is weird? Like, because it's like when you have like a breastfeeding kid and then they're like squeezing your boob all the time, you're like, there's an age range where developmentally I can let them do this and it's like harmless. But if it becomes like a continued weird thing, then I have to put a stop to it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. So I feel like there's a lot of gray area in there as to when you like come down on your kids for that and are like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no rules about it. There's no right thing. My impulse would be similar, which is the, you know, I think for when we were little, most parents would probably just be like, just don't do that. And I'm not going to explain why.
Right.
Especially older than us. It was definitely just like, you should be ashamed.
Yeah, like that never happens. No one's ever done it before.
My parents.
If anyone ever thought about doing it, they would go to hell.
Yeah, you're not doing that. So you're not shaming your child. Well, here's the thing, is that shame is not a totally evil thing. Shame is the thing that stops us from like shitting in the middle of the room. Like, you know, we.
Yeah, and we as a society shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't shit in the middle of the room.
We shouldn't send a dick pic to a group of strangers.
Yeah, don't do that. You should be ashamed. Shame is good. So there is like, by saying like, this is a private thing, don't do this at grandma's house, you are introducing an element of shame that is healthy. But I think you're also doing a great job by being straightforward and being like, hey, yeah, you know, maybe don't do this all the time, but you're not making your child feel like they're a weirdo or they're wrong or something. And for that, we applaud you, Annette.
Yeah. Good work.
Boy, I didn't hump any stuff when I was six.
I don't remember doing that, but I also
don't know if
anyone would have reminded me, you know.
Reminded you?
Like, I wouldn't remember if I had done that at six, probably. I feel like I would remember.
I remember doing that when I was older than six, but we only did our first sex episode last week. I don't know if I'm ready to go there.
Let's save it for the
second anniversary.
For sweeps.
Let's save it for sweeps.
What if we made a week? We picked an arbitrary week as our sweeps week.
The parenting sweeps week. We're going to pull out all the stops. We're talking about puberty. We're talking about sex.
Yeah.
We're talking about drugs and rock and roll.
Everyone loves thinking about puberty.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Hot button.
Well, we'll save it for sweeps. Tune in, guys.
Guys, I want you to write in. Tell us, what's the hot topic for Sweeps Week?
Tell us what you want to hear on Sweeps Week.
Also, tell us, when is Sweeps Week? If you don't know what we're talking about, it's fine. It's fine.
It's a good generational test. I was talking to my friend Chelsea. So my friend Chelsea and I, we called each other at the exact same time by accident. We got the busy signal and I was like, wow, we've got 90s problems. And then we're like, and OJ's back. 90s problems. So anyway, now we've got 90s problems.
Monica. Was I talking about Friends or Monica Lewinsky? What did you think when I said that?
Monica? I guess Friends.
I was talking about Monica Lewinsky.
Like you were her pal in the 90s.
Really? Monica, what have you been up to?
I saw what you did on the news.
You're bad.
Monica. I cannot believe you did that, Monica, but I also totally can.
Wow. That's so you.
Wow. I get it, though.
Monica, she's really a big rebranding in the 21st century.
Yeah, she's great. You know what's funny is I remember like all of these like talk radio jokes about Monica Lewinsky back in the day, and I remember a listener calling in and being like, "I'd fuck the president, leader of the free world." Yeah, I'd fuck the and I was like, "Whoa!" And I was so young when all of this was happening, but like the media around us was just 24/7 blowjobs for like months on end. Just they were like, "Our president blowjob. Our president had a blowjob." And it was just did not stop.
It was really interesting because we were both of an age where you're not really politically active. You don't understand. But
they really drilled it into our heads. They were like, blowjobs, bad. Very, very bad.
O.J. Simpson and Monica Lewinsky, I don't know how old I was, probably middle school. I remember O.J., when the verdict was read, our social studies teacher pulled out a TV and we watched it instead of having class.
That's crazy.
What?
You could just do anything.
It was the 90s. Nothing mattered.
I mean, I don't know.
And this has been Listeners Wanna Know. This has been another episode of Weed Knows Parenting. Hey, now, why not write us a review? Leave us a rating.
We've
which a lot of you
really
have done.
We've gotten some really great ratings from you guys since last week where we asked you to say this is a sexy podcast for parents.
And I don't know why I was surprised that more than one of you did.
So please keep leaving us the sexy reviews. They really make us laugh.
We keep on leaving those sexy reviews.
Please keep listening to the sexy podcast and leaving sexy reviews.
You can send us an email at weknowspod@gmail.com if you have a question, advice, or we haven't done a would you knows in a while. So send us an insane parenting hypothetical we can unpack if you so feel like it.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at weknowspod. And
have yourself a
sexy little podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.